You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote.
Last night, Barack Obama accepted the nomination for a second term as president. We're joined now by Anna Sale, who has been covering the 2012 election and regional politics for WNYC's It's a Free Country. Anna, welcome back to our show.
Thanks.
And you're still in Charlotte? Did you sleep late?
I'm still in Charlotte. It was a late night, but we'll be heading back to New York today.
But you must be relieved that the conventions are finally over.
Oh, they're exhausting. They're certainly exhausting. But what an interesting contrast to get to go from one directly to the other.
And how do you think they compared with one another in terms of things like showmanship and then maybe substance?
Well, the two kind of things that I was thinking about last night. I mean, having covered Tampa and then covered the Democrats in Charlotte, as far as the energy of the crowds, I mean, they couldn't be more different. I would say the Republicans are absolutely, there was consensus in the room that President Obama has to go, that he's bad for the country. But there wasn't a sense when Mitt Romney would appear on screens and videos, the audience sort of had to be kind of lulled into applauding, you know, and even towards the end, I think that the enthusiasm for Mitt Romney built as the convention went on, but just nothing compared to what the Obama true believers, you know, how they responded here in Charlotte. As far as how the kind of stagecraft comparing those two, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but in Tampa, the Republicans, it worked like clockwork. Everybody knew where they were supposed to stand. The press had room on the floor. Everybody, you know, it kind of unfolded without a hitch. Sure, except for, you know, those Ron Paul moments when the Ron Paul delegates, you know, yelled back to the podium. But as far as the unfolding of the show, that was all pretty much well laid out. The Democrats,
except for Clint Eastwood.
Exactly. Clint Eastwood was the major exception and probably the thing that people were talking about when the convention ended. The Democrats, on the other hand, between moving the big rally last night from the stadium back to the arena, which was a much smaller venue, the fire marshals were in every single aisle, moving people around, telling people where they could go or not go, and the rules were changing. So as far as, you know, the actual venue and how it felt as far as an experience for the person there, it was a little bit more stressful. But on stage, you had Mary J. Blige, you had the Foo Fighters, you had, you know, real people standing up. You had the parade of veterans standing up last night, which you didn't see quite in the same way in Tampa, which was sort of interesting. You know, you definitely got a sense of the different characters of the parties.
Well, you talked about how there seemed to be more energy at the DNC. Not everyone agrees. Britt Hume of Fox News said that the Democrats had simply cranked up the volume in the convention hall to make it sound like people were more enthusiastic.
I don't know about that. I mean, certainly the frenzy in the audience was at a fever pitch when Bill Clinton was speaking in his sort of speech that was part policy talk, part church revival, and the audience just absolutely got into that. There wasn't the same fervor during President Obama's speech last night. It sort of got there at the very end, at the crescendo, when finally the confetti came down. But as far as, you know, I would say the level of energy in the audience during a speech was at its highest during President Clinton's speech. But people were filing out of the arena last night, chanting, fired up, ready to go, as they're like walking out of the arena. So I wouldn't say that it was low energy.
Although the pundits split on their reviews of his speech. It was vintage Barack Obama. It was probably not the best speech of the convention. Charles Krauthammer said it was one of the emptiest speeches I've ever heard on a national stage. I guess it also depends on where you stand politically as to whether you thought any of these speeches were great or not great. Two of the major themes echoed by all of the speakers at the DNC, including the president last night, were the auto industry bailout and the killing of Osama bin Laden. I'm guessing both of those things must poll well with undecided voters in swing states.
And it's something that where President Obama can, what the theme that emerged last night was that President Obama is a leader who is decisive in times where it's not where it's it's not where there's the political price would be huge if he failed. And so on the auto bailout, they pointed to how it was not popular in the polls. You know, with the Osama bin Laden raid, they pointed to, of course, the possibility of failure, and that he was decisive in those moments, and that it ended up being the right call for the country. And I think what they were trying to do is sort of in some ways recast President Obama's. You know, he's in some moments during this campaign seemed kind of standoffish, that he's not, you know, fully sort of feeling the pain of the American people. And the campaign tried to present that as, this is a guy who, when he's in the room, he is singularly focused. He is the one who is figuring out the way forward, and he is the one to be trusted to make the decision. That was the argument of the campaign.
Part of the president's speech last night also seemed to be directed at disaffected Obama supporters from 2008. We have a clip. Let's take a listen.
If you turn away now, if you buy into the cynicism that the change we fought for is impossible, well, change will not happen. If you give up on the idea that your voice can make a difference, then other voices will fill the void. The lobbyists and special interests, the people with the $10 million checks who are trying to buy this election, and those who are trying to make it harder for you to vote.
Well, I'm sure that that pitch went over rather well with people at the convention, but do you think it's going to get the kinds of volunteers we saw in 2008 motivated again?
Well, I think what's interesting there is one of the most effective arguments that the Romney campaign and Republicans have been making in swing states is ads that are targeting disappointed Obama voters from 2008. Because President Obama, people still like him as a person, but they do feel disappointed in where we are as a country right now, the sort of tepid recovery and how it feels on the ground. So what you hear President Obama saying there is saying, I know it doesn't, don't give up. So he's urging those disappointed voters to stay in the fold. And what I thought was also interesting is at the very top of the speech, he sort of redefined hope and said, you know, that hope is not basically feel-good optimism. It's this dogged determination to keep moving forward for something better. And so implicit in that is the acknowledgement that things don't feel good in America right now. But he is making the argument that the foundation is being laid, and that President Obama, to stick with it, to trudge through, basically, and that President Obama offers the better choice in November.
So turn around the use of hope and change as a critique that we've been seeing. We have another clip from the president's speech last night. Let's take a listen.
So you see, the election 4 years ago wasn't about me. It was about you. My fellow citizens, you were the change.
Why did the president try to reframe the change slogan last night? As I recall, in 2008, he was billed as change you could believe in.
I think because he doesn't want to be seen as a candidate who was making empty idealistic promises 4 years ago who hasn't been able to live up to them. So if he reframes it to, this is not about me, this is about us and what we hope to do together 4 years ago, and we're in the middle of that work, then it sort of makes it this kind of historic march forward, which is how the campaign is trying to talk about this moment. They don't want any voters to pause and say, how do I evaluate these 4 years? Am I happy with where we are? If this is all Obama is going to do, they want voters to evaluate, what has he done, but what is the plan forward, and make that contrast with Mitt Romney.
And that's why a number of commentators have compared the president's speech last night to a State of the Union address.
Yeah,
did you get that sense?
Yeah, it was like a progress report. It's like, here's some things we've done, but here are all the things that I want to do. And it wasn't the same kind of, I think maybe some of the half-hearted reviews of the president's speech, or we're definitely informed by President Clinton's speech the night before, because what President Clinton did that President Obama did not do was Clinton laid out the rationale for the policy. He made it very real and concrete for how these different government policies were affecting Americans' lives. President Obama described his policies in more sort of broad terms. It didn't get into any of the details. It didn't get any of the details of, say, health care reform. He would mention the popular items like things like removing lifetime caps for kids insurance coverage and things like that. But it was much more sort of going through the bullet points of what we've done without much connection to how it's affected people's lives in the last 4 years.
My guest is Anna Sale of itsafreecountry.org. Still in Charlotte. Hope to see you back in our offices soon.
Yes.
The president avoided much talk of what might be considered his crowning domestic policy achievement, the Affordable Care Act. Why do you think he left that out?
Well, I think it was consistent with what we heard throughout the Democratic Convention. We heard things about staying on your parents' insurance until the age of 26. That came from the health care law. We heard about things like the lifetime caps for kids' insurance coverage. We heard about things like pre-existing conditions and removing those, removing insurance companies' ability to consider pre-existing conditions for kids and in the future for adults. But what you didn't hear was, here's why the mandate is so important, and here's what it's going to do in terms of the overall health insurance economy, healthcare economy, and as a result, the American economy. The president had one speech where he talked about, or one line in his speech where he talked about healthcare reform is going to bring down the cost of healthcare, and that's the way we're going to, you know, that's part of the future of the American economy, but didn't really get into the specifics of it. And that's because it's not popular, and it's also very sort of, it's not concrete at all for people because a lot of this doesn't roll out for two more years in 2014. So the Democrats really want to focus on the couple of things that have already gone into effect, the couple of things that are widely popular, like the insurance for kids up to 26 years old and insurance caps, lifetime insurance caps for kids, but leave the rest sort of unsaid.
Now, one of the most quoted parts of the president's speech we have a clip from, and then we could talk about this.
We don't think the government can solve all of our problems, but we don't think that the government is the source of all of our problems any more than our welfare recipients or corporations or unions or immigrants or gays or any other group we're told to blame for our troubles.
And it seems like a direct slap at President Reagan's proclamation that government is the problem. Is he hoping to redefine how Americans have thought about the relationship with Washington?
I think so. I think that was part of their major pitch, because they wanted, President Obama talked about citizenship, and he talked about not only the benefits of citizenship, but the obligations of citizenship. And so recasting government as sort of the way that we make rules about our relationships to one another. And that is why, you know, you heard that over and over again, Americans coming together, we're all in this together economy, as opposed to you're on your own economy. So,
and it's patriotic to pay your taxes is
exactly
a favorite line.
I thought the appeals to patriotism were really interesting last night. I mean, along with all of the talk about taking care of veterans and military families, which is very much, you know, sort of historically what you see Republicans when they talk about, you know, they bring that up when they talk about patriotism. I mean, the Democrats are trying to recast patriotism as, you know, being willing to do something for your country, and whether that's, if you're a millionaire, paying a little bit higher taxes, you know, that's certainly the pitch that they're making, that government is not just in your way to the American dream, but government is what enables the American dream.
And foreign policy is something that they're claiming for themselves. The president made a few jokes about Mitt Romney's experience on the world stage, and Senator John Kerry went on full force about it. We have a clip.
So on one side of this campaign, we have a president who has made America lead like America again. And what is there on the other side? An extreme and expedient candidate who lacks the judgment and the vision so vital for the Oval Office, the most inexperienced foreign policy twosome to run for president and vice president in decades. You know, it isn't fair. It isn't fair to say that Mitt Romney doesn't have a position on Afghanistan. He has every position.
So he calls him a flip-flopper and then a right-wing extremist at the same time, which would seem to be mutually exclusive. Nobody mentioned Barack Obama and drones. Is that something they're embarrassed about?
No, that didn't come up at all. Neither did Guantanamo Bay. It's interesting because there were also no protests or shouts from the crowd about drones from this, you know, Democratic base gathered in Charlotte. So certainly the Obama campaign feels comfortable just absolutely embracing the raid on Osama bin Laden as to show that he's tough and willing to go right at the enemy. And then also, as they also make the pitch that they have ended combat operations in Iraq, that they have a plan to get out of Afghanistan. So they're trying to sort of cover this whole base of the left, as well as independent voters who are concerned about national security. But that John Kerry speech was just scathing in terms of the way that he described Mitt Romney and his lack of experience in foreign policy.
Just one more thing, Anna. The president said in his speech, While I'm proud of what we've achieved together, I'm far more mindful of my own failings, knowing exactly what Lincoln meant when he said, I have been driven to my knees many times by the overwhelming conviction that I had no place to go. We draw strength from our victories, we learn from our mistakes, but we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that Providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Is that his way of diffusing the big thing over the non-reference to God in the Democratic platform?
Perhaps. I mean, there's some biblical quoting there, and then Israel showed up in John Kerry's speech as well, and when he mentioned Prime Minister Netanyahu says that he trusts Obama on Israel and that he would defer more to the Prime Minister of Israel than Mitt Romney as far as Obama's position on Israel. But I think what you really hear there is a couple of things. You hear President Obama saying, I know that I've made some mistakes, but that line about the distant horizon, that is really the argument that he's making. He's saying, stick with me, because for the long term, we are laying the groundwork for America, for the future. And as opposed to Mitt Romney and the Republicans, the Democrats say, who don't have a plan. That was their argument in Charlotte. So that's what I think you heard in that quote. This has been hard. I know this has been hard the last 4 years, but let's keep our eyes looking towards the future together.
And the stock market was up yesterday. It's down today, and partly in response to the rather sad jobs report that just came in, which will make the president a bit more vulnerable in the next month or so. We'll be talking about this more with you, Anna, I hope.
Yeah, I'll be following it. A few more weeks of this excitement before we get to know how it all turns out.
Anna Sale of WNYC's It's a Free Country. Come home, Anna.
Thank you.